නමෝ භගවතේ වාසුදේවාය. නාර කැන්ටු 5 චැප්ටර් 11 ටෙක්ස්ට් නම්බර් 4. මනෝරජසා පුරුෂස්ය සත්වේන වා තමසා වානුරුද්ධම් චේතෝ භීර් ආකුති භිරාත්නෝති නිරංකුෂම් කුශලම් චේතරම් වා. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: as long as the mind of the living entity is contaminated by the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion and ignorance, his mind is exactly like an independent, uncontrolled elephant. It simply expands its jurisdiction of pious and impious activities by using the senses. The result is that the living entity remains in the material world to enjoy and suffer the pleasures and pains due to material activity. Purport: in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that material pious and impious activities are both opposed to the principle of devotional service. Devotional service means mukti, freedom from material entanglement. But pious and impious activities result in entanglement within this material world. If the mind is captivated by the pious and impious activities mentioned in the Vedas, one remains eternally in darkness. One cannot attain the absolute platform. To change the consciousness from ignorance to passion or from passion to goodness does not really solve the problem. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 14.26, Sa gunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. One must come to the transcendental platform, otherwise life mission is never fulfilled. Translation once again: as long as the mind of the living entity is contaminated by the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion and ignorance, his mind is exactly like an independent, uncontrolled elephant. It simply expands the jurisdictions of pious and impious activities by using the senses. The result is that the living entity remains in the material world to enjoy and suffer the pleasures and the pains due to material activity. So here it is explained by the instructions of Jad Bharat to Maharaj Rahuguna as how the living entity remains to continue this material existence, birth after birth. And Prabhupada is mentioning the last line of the purport, explains how impious and pious activities, they both are troublesome because they keep one in the realm of material jurisdiction. And therefore, Sa gunan samatityaityan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. One must come to the transcendental platform, otherwise life mission is never fulfilled. We see also how, as being the most auspicious occasion of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's disappearance day, wonderful prayers of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Sharanagati and many other poems which Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written, has deeply pondered upon the life's mission, so that a living entity who is conditioned by the modes of nature can relate and can extricate himself from this material entanglement. One of his famous prayers, famous poems, is Durlabha Manava Janma Lobhiya Samsare, that one has achieved this rare human form of life, and if one does not perform devotional service, then it is simply waste. It has been a sheer waste. And another poem is Manushya Janama Paya Radha Krishna Na Bhajiya Janiya Shuniya Vishakhainu. So this mission of the human form of life is to go home back to Godhead. And one has to find out, Prabhupada said, one must be determined enough to make this life as the last life. And therefore, one must come to the transcendental platform, otherwise the life mission is never fulfilled. Similar instruction Lord Krishna gives to Arjuna in the Gita. Tray gunya vishaya veda, nistray gunya bhava Arjuna. overcome all these Vedic injections which are been given, they are simply the flowery language of fruitive activities. So do not get entangled by that. Because Krishna is encouraging Arjuna to fight on the basis of Karmakand initially. Because Krishna is trying to relate to Arjuna's problem. Because Arjuna's problem is that of trying to enjoy the present world with relatives in his vicinity and to enjoy the association of the family members so that they can give them praise. So, because Arjuna is behaving on such a neophyte platform, so Krishna starts explaining the Karmakand. That if you, even if you fight and you win, you go to the heavenly planets. And if you lose, if you fight and win, you get a kingdom, opulence and victory. And if you lose and die, still you go to the heavenly planets. So either way you are beneficial. Krishna is inciting Arjuna's lower instincts. But then Krishna makes sure that Arjuna is not remaining on that platform. And Krishna is telling Arjuna to rise from the platform which he is himself advised. So the qualification for liberation is Krishna gives in the second chapter of the Gita. Yamhina vyathenti yete purusham purusharshava sama dukha sukham dhiram sa amritvaya avyaya kalpate. That one who is not disturbed by happiness or distress is that person and remains steady in both situations is eligible for liberation. So Krishna is giving similar instructions to Arjuna to fight on transcendental platform. And he says, Mam anusmara yudhyacha. First of all, you remember me and then fight. And then Krishna explains in this wonderful verse, Mai sarvani karmani sanyasyadhatyatma chetasa nirashir nirmamo bhutva yudhyasva vigata jvara. Therefore, O Arjuna, surrendering all your works unto me with full knowledge of me, without desires for profit, with no claims of proprietorship, free from lethargy, fight. And this verse, Srila Prabhupada mentions, this verse clearly indicates the purpose of the Bhagavad Gita. The Lord instructs that one has to become fully Krishna conscious to discharge duties as if in military discipline. Such an injunction may make things a little difficult. Nevertheless, duties must be carried out with dependence on Krishna. Because that is the constitutional position of the living entity. The living entity cannot be happy independent of the cooperation of the Supreme Lord. Arjuna was therefore ordered by Sri Krishna to fight as if Lord were his military commander. And Prabhupada says that one has to sacrifice everything for the good will of the Lord. One has to keep the will of the Lord in the forefront, and one has to keep one's desires in the background, has to sacrifice those desires. And at the same time, not fly away from our duty, but discharge the prescribed duties without claiming proprietorship. So Arjuna has been told that you have to fight as if in a military discipline. At the same time, you are not get attached to the results of that activity by not claiming proprietorship. And this word of this wonderful sentence which Srila Prabhupada mentions here, very striking. Arjuna did not have to consider the order of the Lord. He had only to execute his order. So when one comes to Krishna consciousness, one becomes convinced of the path of Krishna consciousness, then there is no looking back or pondering over what is to be done and what is not to be done. The path of action in Krishna consciousness is clearly defined. Now the task of the devotee is how to execute that with great dexterity, with great determination, and with mood of utter dependence. Because this is the aim, to go home back to Godhead in this lifetime. So I was just hearing to one of these wonderful last lectures of His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj, and specific lecture which he had given during his final days, he's explaining about the comfortable prisoner who has no passion for liberation. And he mentions that the principle of austerity. He discusses the principle of austerity in Krishna consciousness. And he said that as soon as we hear about austerity, the connotation is that it is very inconvenient, it is very difficult. And even if we perform that austerity, the real focus is that what will I get out of it? And therefore, the me connectivity is always there. The center is me. If I do this, I get this. But the real austerity is to do what is needed and what is required of the beloved, for whom we express the love for. So, he says, there is nothing much more difficult to perform real austerity. Because in Satyuga, in Trita Yuga, and Dwapar Yuga, it was very difficult to perform austerities. But in Kali Yuga, we simply have to be better servants. We have to give up sense gratification. We have to adapt to change our conditionings. Like a drug addict who has severe difficulties to come back to his normal life and often keeps on being allured by his drug use. But he has to change. He has to take an effort to overcome that conditioning. And finally he says that to arrange the things for the Lord before even it is being expressed. And actually, between a pure devotee and the Supreme Lord, there is always a spiritual competition that who will serve each other in the best way. And that's what actually goes on between Prahlad Maharaj and Lord Narsingadev. Prahlad Maharaj has offered prayers to Lord Narsingadev. He has pacified the Supreme Lord. And Lord Narsingadev is very happy with Prahlad Maharaj's devotion. And he asks, please take a benediction. I want to give you a benediction. Ask whatever you want. And Prahlad Maharaj says, no, I don't want to take any benediction because I don't want to make it a business transaction. Still, Lord Narsingadev is competing with Prahlad Maharaj that I want to give you something. And therefore, Prahlad Maharaj finally actually defeats the Supreme Lord in the competition by asking a benediction for the deliverance of his own father, of all the benedictions. And in this way, the Lord is pleased. And this the spiritual competition is always going on. That is the competition in the arena of love. So, even when we see that most of the times is the other way around, Krishna gives us, arranges for us, even when it is being expressed, before it is being expressed. Like in the case of Sudama. Sudama came, but before he could express, his desires were already fulfilled. And he went back and saw that palatial mansion. So, Prabhupada was mentioning one of these classes, one of the Bhagavatam classes, that a very, very emphatic statement. He said that try to arrange things in such a way that you do not have to receive from Krishna. You don't have to take anything from Krishna. But you have to arrange the things in such a way that you give everything to Krishna. And in this connection, Srila Prabhupada gave the story of Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami was approached in Vrindavan near his bhajan kutir by a young girl. And she gave a very nice collection of various ingredients for preparing kheer, because that was his meditation, that I want to offer Sanatana Goswami this wonderful kheer. And this young girl came and then said that these are all the ingredients, please cook and have to your satisfaction. Rupa Goswami was charmed by this wonderful young girl. He prepared a nice feast, a kheer, and then he invited Sanatana Goswami. And Sanatana Goswami said, where did you receive all these ingredients, all these costly ingredients from? He said, there was a very nice young girl, very, very charming. And she asked, and Sanatana Goswami asked the description of this young girl. And Rupa Goswami said, and gave the description. And Sanatana Goswami said, alas, you have committed a great blunder. You have taken service from our lordships, Shri Radha and Krishna. We are here to give service to them, but you have taken service from them. And this is not very nice. So, this is the determination of the devotee. And Prabhupada says that one must cultivate this determination. This Holiness Bhaktivedanta Maharaj was explaining further as regards to austerity. He had once visited in Ukraine a monastery, and all of these people have really peculiar ways of performing their tasks of renunciation. And he was explaining wonderfully that he searches for all of these good things available. It is said even if a stone, if a gold is even found in a filthy place, one must accept that. So he was explaining very wonderfully that renunciation, that means lack of dependence on material facilities and giving up material facilities, causes another aspect of our life to bloom genuinely. Just like he gave an example of a blind man. If a person is blind, he cannot see, but his other senses like touch, audibility, and other senses become more powerful in their faculties. Similarly, when a person gives up dependence on this world and gives up renounces these things of this world, he develops a genuine faculty for increasing his devotional tendencies. It's an automatic transition. So he was saying that this monastery, very, very peculiar monastery, the people in this monastery, they have no connection with the outside world, with the world outside. And their cave, where they practice meditation, is an underground cave where only there is a small window. And all the food, all the necessities, and they live very simply. What is the goal of this monks? The goal of the monks is to meet God in this lifetime. Only those who are serious enough to meet the Lord in this very life, they have given up all the connection with this material world and have decided to take upon voluntary austerity. A wonderful thing about this monastery is that you cannot go out. You cannot leave. You have to die in that same monastery, in that same cave. So it is said that these monks bury themselves alive, in the sense that they simply live there until death. How can people survive in such an atmosphere where there is no ventilation, there is no medicine, there is no proper food? It actually causes faster degradation towards death. But the only option is to go crazy or to die. If a person gets crazy and is not allowed to come out, he repents that he is not able to perform, he is not able to perfect, he gets another chance in his next life. But a person who gets convinced, who practices until death, he takes up divine life. So, he was mentioning that such are the determined tendencies of a person who is sure, who is confident, who is wanting, who is eager to serve and meet the Lord in this lifetime. So this might seem to be a very, very extreme case. And that also happened in the case of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, who used to perform severe austerities, who used to just eat very, very sparsely, didn't sleep for more than 2 hours. But what was the positive engagement? They were engaged, they were completely absorbed. They were absorbed in 24 hours devotional activities, by which these austerities seemed to be very, very trivial. So, the austerity for the devotee is that he simply has to execute the needful. In the sense that one must be very open enough to challenges, expecting some difficult calamities, dangers coming in one's life. And therefore, the austerity is that when we are able to respond to those calamities and those difficult circumstances with great determination. And therefore it is said, when one takes to easy life, And he said that Prabhupada says, mentions in one of the purports that easy life and Krishna consciousness go ill together. If the life, if the devotional life is very easy, then there is something wrong. There is some grave complication. And therefore, when one takes to this easy life, he gets comforted. And one gets comforted when then one accepts the norms of the society to be normal. The mundane world as normal. And therefore, when one remains or belongs to a part of this society and follow the norms of the society, he remains or he chooses to be a prisoner in this material world. A prisoner who is not determined to get out of the prison house is that of an easy life. And we see in the life of Srila Prabhupada, he demonstrated personally by his lifetime. He said to one of his disciples that, I pray to the Supreme Lord that let me not sleep much so that I can write and translate these books. And he took up very, very severe austerities. Srila Prabhupada himself, whenever he would be in, like when he reached the United States, he fell, he had a severe heart problem. But he persevered. And that is the quality of a devotee. He perseveres and tolerates and continues to advance with great determination. So, simply austerity and determination is not the qualification for liberation from this material world, for achieving the world, the spiritual world. A very important quality required for attaining the spiritual world, one of the swarupa lakshanas, one of the symptoms which explained by Srila Rupa Goswami, is that of complete dependence on the Supreme Lord. So, many devotees were asking His Holiness Bhaktitirtha Maharaj that, what realizations are you undergoing right now? You must be going through the wonderful phase of realizations. What are the realizations? And he said that it was a kind of a nightmare, but it brought about a very deep degree of dependence. And sometimes, as His Holiness Bhaktitirtha Maharaj was always on the move, traveling from place to place, preaching all over the places, suddenly all of his preaching activities had come to a halt. And he mentioned that sometimes, physically, when you are put in a very, very handicapped situation, you feel so frustrated. So physically it's very frustrating, but spiritually you allow yourselves to be available for Krishna's plan. And that was the thing that actually transformed the whole consciousness. Rather than just blaming or just lamenting, one has to accept the plan and the arrangement of the Supreme Lord. And he said a very, very wonderful thing that suppose if you love someone and the people whom you love, they are completely dependent on you, then you want to give much more to those people. If you love someone, if someone loves you and they are completely dependent on you, then you want to facilitate more. But sometimes the love is there, but the dependence is not there. So what happens? Even if the arrangement of the Lord is there, the mercy of the Lord is there, it miscues, it misses. Because we have not completely made ourselves available to the arrangement of the Beloved, of the Supreme Lord. And therefore, opening the doors of consciousness to accept the plan of the Supreme Lord is the way to receive the complete love and the mercy of the Supreme Lord. And this analysis is so wonderful. And the problem is that we are not sufficiently dependent on the Lord. Vidura, when he left home, when he left Dhritarashtra's palace, he had a kind of feeling, he had a very uncomfortable feeling. But as soon as he began to make his journey, he began to realize that this was the mercy of the Lord, that he was completely detached from all of these difficult circumstances, all of the entangling circumstances, and the Lord gave him the real freedom. The freedom from the freedom which was attained from accepting the Lord's arrangement was more than the freedom at home. And then he became very determined. Srila Prabhupada also exhibited this utter dependence on the Supreme Lord. Especially when he was traveling on the Jaluduta, he made those wonderful prayers, Markine Bhagavad Dharma, where he expressed his utter dependence on the Supreme Lord. He simply made available himself as a puppet in the hands of the Supreme Lord and said, make me dance, and make me dance. So because he was ready to be dependent on the plan, on the arrangement of the Lord, he said, I do not know why have you brought me here, but it is simply your plan that I am here, so you tell me what to do. You only simply guide me. So devotee is very open to the arrangement of the Supreme Lord. And therefore, a devotee is always praying for the mercy. In fact, we see how Srila Prabhupada's business collapsed, and his plan was to preach Krishna consciousness through this business. But when everything was the signs of receding, the Lord had shown the signs of that he should recede from this material businesses and he must take to the complete shelter of the Supreme Lord, is then what Srila Prabhupada recognized, that mercy, yasyaham anugrinami. So we also see in the life of Vritrasur, wonderful quality of this dependence. Especially when Chitraketu Maharaj was cursed, he accepted that at the arrangement of the Lord. And even in the body of that great demon, Vritrasur, he was perfectly Krishna conscious. When he was fighting this battle with Indra, and Indra had thrown a club on him, and Vritrasur defeated, he threw back this club and was powerful. And then Indra had brought his thunderbolt, the weapon which was destined to kill Vritrasur. But Indra was not confident that whether this weapon will be able to kill Vritrasur. But Vritrasur was confident that this weapon will kill me. And he was telling Indra, come on, hurl this weapon upon me and I'll be killed by this weapon. Why? Because Vritrasur was seeing that weapon as the arrangement of Lord Vishnu so that he could be killed. This body, which is simply a lump of matter, be finished, and his next life immediately goes on back to Godhead. So a devotee has no doubts. When he faces the arrangement of the Lord, he has no ambiguity. He simply accepts that this is in good faith. He accepts the will of the Lord, seeing that the Lord has a plan for him. And therefore, we see that he prays that, you know, Indra, that you kill me. He instigates Indra to kill him. And he prays that the Lord is so merciful and kind to his devotees that he does not allow any kind of opulence which might hinder his spiritual progress. And Indra, even though he will win, but he will simply remain in this material world as a king of the heavenly planets and rot in this material existence. While the devotee, Vritrasur, will die and will lose the battle, but actually will win the war. So the devotees lose the battles. They lose the battles of this material life to win the war and succeed and attain victory of the spiritual world. So this complacency is a very great danger on the path of devotional service, on the path of bhakti. And therefore a devotee should never be satisfied with the kind of progress that is making. Because as a devotee becomes happy with whatever progress that is making or feels himself qualified for what he's receiving, then he will not be able to make any progress. As long as a devotee feels himself unqualified, he thinks that there is much more to experience in Krishna consciousness. There is much forward to go ahead. And one who actually feels himself unqualified, he experiences natural humility. At the same time, he is embarrassed by the mercy that he is receiving. So a devotee who is completely feeling himself unqualified, such a person becomes more dependent on the mercy of the Supreme Lord. And therefore, Prabhupada was once asked by his disciples, Prabhupada, if The purpose of the human form of life is to go back to Godhead. Then why is Maya so strong? And Prabhupada said that, of course Maya is strong, but actually more than that, the purpose, your purpose to overcome Maya is not that strong. So the purpose to overcome Maya is more stronger than Maya. And therefore, the Supreme Lord has made Himself available. For one who is completely dependent on Him, He has actually allowed the living entity to completely access the treasure of His mercy. So, the problem on the path is that there are many obstacles on the path of this dependence. And those are the opulences of this material world. And therefore, Queen Kunti Maharani prays that the Lord is simply Tvam Akinchana Gocharam. He is the property of one who is completely impoverished. So unless one is impoverished, unless one actually prays, or unless one actually receives these calamities with great gratitude and with great perseverance, as Kunti Maharani says that Vipada Santu Ta Shashwat Tatra Tatra Jagadguru. Because in every calamity, there is more opportunity for dependence on the Supreme Lord. And rather than having a very comfortable situation, it is much more better to receive a calamitous condition in the life of a devotee. So, this opulences, how to become impoverished? And Bhaktivedanta Maharaj was explaining very wonderfully how each of the six opulences of the Supreme Lord is what the whole world is trying to attain. And he was telling that Aishwarya, richness, wealth. People want to become wealthy. And therefore, when one possesses any of these opulences, or one feels that he has something, then he tries to become in the position of a controller. As long as one is a controller, one cannot accept the Supreme Lord's mercy. He blocks that mercy of the Supreme Lord. And the material body and the material world is simply a facility, an arena where a living entity can think himself to be separate from the Supreme Lord. And thereby, when he thinks separate from the Supreme Lord, he thinks himself to be the controller and himself absolves himself of the dependence on the Supreme Lord. So, Aishwarya, people are trying to get much wealth. But ultimately, when they get wealth, they want to control. And when they control, they remain satisfied. They remain satisfied in this prison house. And such a comfortable prisoner cannot have the passion for liberation. Finally, then he explains that beauty, it is so intoxicating. There are various cosmetics available in the world outside. When one tries to achieve this material beauty, and as one thinks that he is more beautiful, is so intoxicating and remains satisfied in this prison house. And such a comfortable prisoner cannot achieve the passion for liberation. A person who is craving for fame, such a person is always expecting praises from others, and he is trying to justify all kinds of endeavors, all kinds of deviations, just to get some distinction and adoration. And in this effort to get the distinction and adoration, he tries to condemn others. He tries to criticize others. He tries to put down others and tries to become a controller. As he becomes a controller, he remains satisfied in this prison house. And such a prisoner cannot have the passion for liberation. So, when a person is looking down upon others and one is in the position of this fame, then one denies any critical feedback. He was explaining wonderfully that sometimes we just put forward some proposal before a group of devotees, but we are not ready to accept the critical feedback. We want to hear what we want. And therefore we very much comply with those people who say what we want. And then those who criticize, those don't criticize, they actually offer a critical feedback, we think them as enemies. So such a person has a tendency to sit on power and not accept the good advice from others. Such a person who is remains satisfied in his position cannot attain the passion for liberation. Strength is another opulence. In a devotee's life, or just by the passage of years, one might be called as a senior devotee and could be labeled as one of those. And such a devotee, if he thinks himself that he is senior and he is superior to others, such a person will be always lacking confidence in any help from outside, any help from the devotees. He thinks himself, his image of strength is there, and even though if he is weak, he will accept himself falsely to be the strong person and will not accept any counsel from others. And such a person remains satisfied in that position, in that prison house, and such a comfortable prisoner cannot have passion for liberation. Finally, he speaks about the last two things of knowledge. When in the realm of devotional service, one gets so many knowledge, one receives, one gets a lot of data, information, is pseudo-knowledge. And the pseudo-knowledge, the trademark of the pseudo-knowledge is that one becomes proud of that knowledge. And one becomes proud of this knowledge, he remains satisfied in that pride in the situation of pride. And in every situation of that satisfaction, he has no passion for liberation. Finally, renunciation. We have given up all the opulences, but the superiority of giving up those opulences is still there. That I have given up all these things. And therefore, one thinks that those who are hankering for these opulences of wealth, beauty, knowledge, they have actually inferior. And therefore, when one acts in that mode of being superior, one remains satisfied. And a devotee, one who remains satisfied on the account of his false or pseudo-renunciation, will not have passion for liberation. So this is so wonderful that a devotee is never satisfied with his endeavors. Like Raghunandan was offering that sweet rice, the laddus, to the Lord Gopinath, he was not ready until the Lord actually accepts it. Even the Lord said, "I have accepted it." He said, "You eat in front of my eyes." So devotee is eager to give more to Krishna. He is never satisfied. And once Chamdudurpur was mentioning that, was being asked, what is the single most factor for spiritual advancement? And he thought for some time and he said, risk. Risk is one single most factor for advancing in spiritual life. And his Devamis Swami was explaining that, like in the bygone days of our, when Srila Prabhupada was there, the devotees were enterprising, adventurous and full of risk. But nowadays, we often think and be calculative. We plan and we always on the conservative mode. And we are not ready to take that extra endeavor, an extra mile, a risk. And this risk is one factor which actually attracts the mercy of the Supreme Lord, which attracts dependence, which cultivates this quality of dependence. He said that you put yourself in such a risky situation, in such a dangerous situation by taking this risk for Krishna, that Krishna is forced to come and help you. And in this way, a devotee is always remaining under the dependence, under the shelter of the Supreme Lord. So, this is very wonderfully, and finally he concludes, Bhaktitid Maharaj, that any high achievements, a high achiever, any kind of success, any kind of opulence is a threat for a devotee. And therefore, whenever there are dangers, there are calamities, there are great reversals in his life, it shows that we are not in control. And that we come in the position of being a beggar. By Guru's grace, we are realized, we are given that understanding. And in this way, without taking any kind of a serious austerity or serious measures to advance in spiritual life, it is going to be very difficult. So, he was telling that if prescriptions given to a patient are like, the austerities are compared to the prescriptions given to the patient. He just takes these austerities and continues his treatment for some time altogether. And finally, when he is cured, then he is no longer to be required in the hospital. He is discharged. Similarly, a devotee, he perseveres in this one life. He takes up severe austerities and he prepares his life simply for death. So that the death is simply an escape door, the perfect escape to the spiritual world. And his grace going through also was quoting Bhaktivedanta Maharaj that this material world is simply to make us sober and spiritual world is for enjoyment. So if one simply accepts in that mood of continuous perseverance, austerities, determination with dependence on the Supreme Lord, then the escape door will, according to how we enter those kind of doors which have electrically, if you just pass through that infrared rays, if you block them, the doors open. Similarly, if you just enter into that situation, the zone of dependence, and then Krishna recognizes our dependence and the doors open. So similarly, the devotee can express. There are wonderful ways to express this dependence on the Supreme Lord and wonderful occasion of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's disappearance he showed by his example. That when he was threatened by that yogi, Bishak Sen, and he had created so many difficulties in the family, the health of his children, and even he suffered a severe chest pain, feeling so much uncomfortable. But still he continued and persevered to execute the mission of the Lord. And therefore it is mentioned in one of the purports by Srila Prabhupada that one must adjust. When Arjuna was coming back from Dwarka, being completely lost and defeated, and then he was expressing his dependence, his remembrance on the Supreme Lord, Prabhupada mentions that one must adjust the pace of one's activities in our life so as to match with the mission of the Lord. Not that we make the Lord to match our own mission, our own personal mission, and we petition to the Lord that please give me this, give me that. Rather, the devotee is wanting to adjust the pace of his activities so as to match the mission of the Lord. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any comments? Ki jai. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki jai. Srila Gadadhar Pandit ki jai.